Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome in. As we hit 2:13 in the afternoon on a Friday, this segment is sponsored by Safeway. Alongside Lorenzo Neal, it's Dan Avone. I guess some good news, right? Brock Purdy apparently will be in uniform and will start for the San Francisco 49ers against the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I was getting that news and I'm like, wow, actually I'm still shocked. I'm still thinking, is this just a ploy? Is the Niners just giving smoke screens to say, hey, look, we're going to have him, so now Buffalo's got to prepare for all two or three quarterbacks and say, look, we're not for sure. Is this guy going to really play? Is this a smokescreen? I don't know, and it's going to be interesting. I know Brock practiced today, you know, took some reps and stuff today. I wonder how many did he take? Did he take all the starting reps? Did he come out? Because you cannot go into this game and expect Brock to play all the plays. So you have to give the backup some opportunities because of the injuries. So just interesting to see what they did this week.
Yeah, so I mean, I hear what it is that you're saying, that if you think about this, is this the wisest thing to do?
Right.
In playing Purdy in a game that, look, with when I said that, you know, you're thinking about winning games right now and not necessarily thinking about Chicago or anybody or the Rams after that. But when I heard the players that are not going to be available and you're going to throw Purdy into that mix, this just can go bad to worse. So in terms of protecting your so-called future, right, if this is the guy that's going to get the bag and $60 million next year, I'm not so sure what we're doing here, Lil.
Yeah, I totally, especially you're talking, and that's why I'm kind of shocked even more because you don't have Trent. You don't have a lot of these guys to protect him and help this guy play at a very high level. So he's not going to have that. So it's going to be interesting to see how he goes out here. And even though that he doesn't have a plethora of his guys, how he just raises everyone up around him. Is Brock capable? Absolutely. Does he have some weapons with Jennings and Debo and other guys that are around him? You know, yes, he does still have guys that can make plays for you. You still have two great running backs. Of course, McCaffrey's unbelievable, but you have guys that are capable and serviceable. But McCaffrey, you know what he can do. He can be a nightmare. McCaffrey's, you know, he's got the explosion to have a 200-yard game, not necessarily rushing, but combined, rushing and receiving. So you know what you have in McCaffrey. It's just going to be interesting to see if these guys can give him the opportunity and give him the space and create running lanes that's going to sustain drives. Because right now, McCaffrey has had some touches, but they're far in between because you have not been able to sustain drives.
Again, this could be an opportunity, though, if you think about it, if you're Brock Purdy, and I'm assuming that any quarterback, any NFL football player, if there's the slightest opportunity that you can get out there and play, you're going to want to go. And this is, it's all there for him just to at least quiet the critics and that constant mantra of, let's see what you can do without Debo, without Kittle, or without some of your stars. Now, those guys will be good to go. But if you can be competitive against Buffalo and you can be a man down with Trent Williams out, with everybody that's out on the defensive side of the ball, and just a hurting team that's been reeling. But if he can straighten the ship and just, I mean, if you're within a touchdown, if you're breathing an upset here, I think this goes a long way in terms of the confidence for Brock Purdy. And really, if we were to go big picture, and you know what his agent's thinking, if my man Brock Purdy puts together a good game, then there's no doubt that we're going to ask for the moon of the offseason. Because we will have answered what is the biggest question about this young fella is, are you a system quarterback? Are you a product of the scheme? Are you someone that's just benefited because the stars were aligned and you got drafted by one Kyle Shanahan as the last guy in the draft? Or are you someone that can elevate a team that's been losing, that people have been counted out against, as we have talked about, one of the best teams in the NFL, and an odds-on favorite to win the Super Bowl, that being Buffalo at Buffalo?
Yeah, it really is going to be a tall task to ask. But like you just alluded to, if you can have your guy go out here and elevate your team in a game that no one gives you even a fighting chance, and you have a quarterback that's going to go out here and have to elevate and have to carry this team and have to carry him all the way and to the victory, you would have to pay this guy. And I don't think it's a situation where you're talking about, oh, then they'll have to pay him. I think that you have to pay him anyway, especially if he goes out here and you're talking about, well, what is his agent thinking? Oh, his agent's like, golly, go out here and win this game and then they're going to pay. It's like, and the flip side of that is, why would we take our chance without our starting tackle, without a lot of the guy's weapons, to this could possibly make our guy look bad?
By the way, Steve Tasker, guy I'm sure you're familiar with, is going to join us after 2:30.
Love that guy.
Steve Tasker, special team standout. And we talked to Andre Reed the other day. So we're just doing the deep dive out there in beautiful Buffalo.
Love Tasker, man. That was a Tasmanian devil. I mean, he's always making plays. And it's great because I want to ask him, you know, how big is special teams, and especially in games like this, with weather like this? I mean, you've seen Buffalo special teams field goal. You saw Giants, Buffalo, all the different things that happen in Super Bowl. So I think it's going to be a great call to be able to have a guy that played that position and played it so much vigor.
Yeah, perennial Pro Bowler. When you talk about Steve Tasker, once again, he'll join us after 2:30, you know, it's interesting because the 49ers special teams, obviously, it's been an area of concern. And Mr. Schneider, as good as he is, he was the man out in Seattle. I think it's a foregone conclusion he will not be with his team next year. Who knows? Stranger things have happened, but this has not gone well for him and or the special teams. It's every single week something goes wrong. But let me just ask you this. It just seems as though it's sort of pervasive. Maybe it's just me throughout the NFL that there's a lot of, I mean, Tucker's suddenly now human out there in Baltimore.
Right, right.
And all of a sudden it's like we're you know, 50 yarders were just a given. Now suddenly special teams, whether it's punting or return. I mean, did you see Washington and Dallas?
Oh, my. The extra point. I mean, Washington fought like hell to get back in this game with, like, what, 37 seconds left. You throw a corner out, and he catches the ball and leaves the rest of the DBs and score a touchdown with, like, a couple seconds left on the clock. And now you got a chip shot extra point. And you miss the extra point, which cost you a game. And that game, Washington fought back. And you're like, okay, Dallas is just a bad team. They're going to find a way to lose this game. But, yeah, you're right. You've seen special teams cost teams wins this year big time. Baltimore was no exception.
888-957-9570. Let's open up the phone lines and get after it. We start things in the city of San Francisco. Let me just get to Ian. What's on your mind, Ian?
You talking to me?
Yeah, we're talking to you, Ian. What's up, baby?
Okay, D's my name. D's my name. How you guys doing? Listen, so we got this game that y'all scared about, man. We got the Niners, baby. We Niners here. We about to die over here. So we just got to keep them motivated. And Brock, we got to protect him. Even though he's, you know, he's down to play, then that'll play. Whoever that is, you know, hurt on our team, if they want to play this Sunday, let them play. Because it's on their heart. It's making them play. But we're not going to, you don't tame the beast. Let the beast loose.
Thank you.
Bring back the beast mode. You feel me?
I feel
Bring
you.
Bring back.
Okay, absolutely. Well, I totally understand. He's like, look, you want to play, let him play. Absolutely.
You understand him. You know more than me, man.
Yeah, it was, you know, I got what he was saying. I got what he was putting down. He's like, look, don't hold him back. It's the Niners. It's bang, bang, Niner game. Hey, let him play. Let him eat. Let him hunt. I would be all for that if I saw something that would say this is going to be the week you turn it around. But you're in the latter part of the season, and I just haven't seen enough to say, okay, they are ready to turn this season around. They are ready to win a game against Buffalo that's coming off of a bye. Now, it's possible. I just want to see these guys put a four quarters together, because thus far this year, they have not been able to string four quarters together. They've found a way in the second half. They're really not a second half team any longer. Their defense hasn't been great in the second half. Their offense hasn't been great in the second half. In the fourth quarter, they've been getting outscored. So, yeah, let them play and see what happens and roll the ball out there. Hey, and anything can happen on Sunday, but you're playing a pretty good team. If you can win this game, I think you research your season is researched.
Well, that's just it. I mean, you're absolutely right. There's no reason for us at this late juncture of the season to have any faith in this football team, because they pretty much have shown you who they are.
Exactly.
And maybe it's the hangover from the Super Bowl, but it just seems as though, you know, this team is not what they were a year ago. And so maybe just rally the boys of the offseason and then get after it with Purdy and a new contract next year. But as long as you see Purdy, and as long as, you know, maybe Trent Williams comes back, you know Bosa's going to be back. It's just a matter of time before Greenlaw's patrolling the linebacking position along with Fred Warner. Is there a chance? I mean, can you hold out hope, which I know a lot of Niner fans are doing, because it's such a tease when you see these stars that they could potentially go on a run? Or is it, again, we're so far late into the season that basically they're telling everybody who they are, that this is the team that can't string together, as you said, four quarters?
That's the thing. You still have the guys, and like you just alluded to, there's help coming. You had McCaffrey. Everyone, like you said yesterday, McCaffrey, 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 you got him. And what's happened? The running game has decreased instead of increased. You're thinking, okay, God, when we get this guy back, we get that guy back, once we have everything in, we can start going on a run, because it's the Niners. They walk in and you watch the way that they play and teams shake. The teams fold under their pressure. Once the Niners are rolling, teams usually break because the Niners are so good. They're that fighter that when they walked into the ring, you knew in the fourth quarter the Niners are going to turn it on, and you're not going to be able to handle what they're giving you. But we've seen the Niners now throw that knockout blow, and the team counterpunches them and hit them. The Niners hit them with one. They're hitting the Niners with the two-piece and staggering the Niners. So the Niners, we've seen their knockout punch. And teams are able to come back, get off the canvas, and able to come back from this knockout punch. So I just haven't seen this far this year the Niners throw a knockout blow that's just floored the opposition, and they haven't been able to weather the storm. That's the question, and that's the reason why I'm saying, and the reason that we don't have optimism that they can weather the storm, because it looks like they're doing the rope-a-dope and they're not punching on the ropes. They're just getting pounded on the ropes, and especially in the fourth quarter, running the ball down their throat, throwing the ball on them, breaking down in secondary, breaking down, you know, offensively, defensively. So we haven't seen this team put together that knockout punch that a team can recover from.
They have to do battle in Buffalo. What's it like playing in that place this time of year?
Man, I love it. I mean, when you get the fans and the guys there and everyone's out there, it's just friggin' the weather's great. The weather's freezing, but you just go there and those crowd, the fan noise, man, it's unbelievable.
All right, we got to get to a break. This segment sponsored by Safeway. Don't forget, Steve Tasker is on the way. We got a lot to get into talking about the 49ers, as well as running down everything that's happening in the NFC and the rest of the NFL. It's Lo Neal, it's Dan Avone here on a Friday, back on 95.7 The Game after this.
To Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Lorenzo Neal alongside Dan Avone filling in on this Friday as the 49ers get ready for the Buffalo Bills, and they'll do it in what is, I believe, kickoff temperatures expected to be around 33 degrees. Now, as far as I know, and I certainly didn't go very far in terms of, well, actually, science and math were the two things that I thought I would never get out of high school, let alone college. But 32 degrees is when you get snow precipitation. Yeah. So at 33, but they're expecting snow, the snow flurries. You know, I talked about this, about being a strong-arm quarterback, and I was being somewhat tongue-in-cheek during the crossover, but when you think about the Josh Allens, the Joe Flaccos, just guys that, even the Brett Favres in Green Bay for all those years, it seems as though those strong-arm quarterbacks who can just deliver a football in the elements. And Brock Purdy, and we talked about Tua Tagovailoa, does not seem that he's necessarily, once again, one of those guys that can just plant that back foot and let it rip. It's a little bit more finesse. Is someone like me reading a little bit too much into that? Or what are the elements versus Brock Purdy? Who wins that battle this weekend?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting just to see how his ball is in the wind, especially if there's a huge wind gust and, you know, you have to make sure you get the ball, receive the ball, and it, that when it comes down to field position, you want the win at your back in the fourth quarter. So, be just to see who wins the toss, and I think those are things that play into it. So, it's going to be very, very interesting just to see how this game transpires. I think when you're talking about this type of weather conditions, I think it does suit up Josh Allen because he's been in it. He plays in it. He lives there. This whole team's there. And now you're going to have to go West Coast, go two time zones out to Buffalo, and you're playing there. So, and you've been in, you know, the last week was you were already out that way in Green Bay, so you had to travel back. So that's a lot of flying for your team, altitude, all those different things. So there, it's going to be interesting to see how the battle comes between these two quarterbacks, because both these two quarterbacks, they are the faces of their franchise. And it's just going to be interesting to see how Purdy fares against Josh Allen.
All right, well, it came down maybe within the last hour. It was made official. Kyle Shanahan, once again, stating that Brock Purdy will indeed play against the Buffalo Bills.
It was good. Yeah, it's great to get him back out there. He's able to go fully today, so that was a good day.
That would suggest that if he's full, he's playing on Sunday.
It would suggest that.
What you're saying, he will play on Sunday?
Yes. I mean, lots of things can happen between now and then, but right now he's playing, so he's doing good. Had a good day.
Wow. He's playing. That seemed like
he's not leaving the door open there a little bit, is he? He's not being an Aaron Rodgers esque.
He left it open, but not open. I mean, it's open, but it's in that closing motion. Like it's open, but he's closing the door. It will be interesting just to see, you know, what Brock is able to do, and if he is going to play, how much will he play? I think that now, just hearing Shanahan, I think he will play. I think that you heard that he said he had a pretty good day of practice throwing the ball. So they must feel really confident and comfortable playing Brock Purdy.
And when you think about the injury, I mean, soreness is one of those things where you have a PR team, and how are we going to spin this? Well, let's just say he has shoulder soreness. soreness usually means for a professional football player, ligament damage, slight separation. I mean, I'm going places that I absolutely, you know, have no validation that either one of those things are remotely true. But you would think that there might be some sort of structural damage if it's, once again, the second week and he's still a bit iffy, although we just got the green light. If you're Buffalo, are you going to send the house? Are you going to, obviously, you're going to look to pressure Brock Purdy? And to counter that, the one thing, again, that the Buffalo Bills, as good as they have been, if there's one area where you can say, okay, we can exploit that, is that they have not been stellar in terms of defending the run.
Yeah.
The 49ers have not been very good in terms of establishing the run, but that could be the one area that might give them a shot on Sunday.
Yeah, if you're Buffalo, you're going to push that pocket in the middle. You're going to keep Brock in the middle, and you want to push and make the pocket collapse and now get some hands up because he's not tall in stature. That's why Brock's 6-7-step drop, he wants to get deep so he can throw over the line and still have that trajectory. But if you get that push from the middle and now you've collapsed that pocket and now Brock is in there, it's hard to see over those trees, especially when you're 6'1", you know, and those guys are 6'4", 6'5", and they're dwarfing over you. So that's when you get more balls batted down. So it's to keep him in the pocket and then say, okay, are we going to play a lot of press coverage? Because we want to make sure we press the DB, the receivers, because they've had a tough time beating man coverage, and make Brock say, oh my goodness, the clock in his head is going to go off. He's like, okay, I don't want to get hit. I'm going to get rid of the ball. Is he going to be a little skittish because he is protecting his shoulder? So it's just some things that you want to see this game, the way the game unfolds, to see what happens, to see how Brock's going to be able to handle that.
And if he does get into those 7-step drops or 5-step drop and he wants to throw the football, one of the guys that he has to go to and has to be a little bit more reliant and or explosive is Deebo Samuel, who, like a lot of players, and there have been a lot of theories that have been thrown around as to what's wrong with San Francisco, and he certainly has been front and center. Now, I can't go as far as a lot of other people that believe that he's washed, that he's clearly lost that half step, step and a half, and he's no longer the same player. You and I talked about this. I firmly believe that it has a lot to do with more than just Deebo Samuel, but rather it's Kyle Shanahan and that once innovative offense where it was sort of Kyle Shanahan and everybody else. I think a lot of teams have caught up to that and explains a lot as to why Christian McCaffrey isn't running to wide open spaces. I think the same thing schematically. You don't see Deebo Samuel catching the ball in space and doing what it is that he does best, and that being the yak and yards after the catch. So I put it to you, Lo. I mean, what is it that you see with Deebo Samuel? Do you think that this is a guy that no longer has it and that it's an area that the 49ers need and he just simply can't deliver any longer?
Yeah, I think Deebo has it. I think we had Cassell on a couple days ago, and he talked about, and I think Jake asked the question, you know, what's going on with Deebo? And he said, this game was not about Deebo. This system is not about Deebo. And then he asked, what is Deebo? What type of player is it? He said, here, he's a guy that is good with reverses, sweeps, all those different things. Cal did a great job of scheming him open and doing those things. But you haven't been able to do that. So you have affected the what you have in Deebo, because Debo's not necessarily a top 5 or 10 receiver. He's a guy that you give him gadget plays, reverses, screens, all those different things, and he can run over guys, and he's more of that guy. But now, because you haven't had the success with the offensive line in the interior to do the things that make Deebo Deebo, people are starting to blame Deebo, but the scheme has not been able to work. And he said it started up front with the offensive line. So I don't think it's necessarily Deebo, but I do believe that, hey, this is a game that Deebo has heard all the talk and what everyone's been saying about.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Debo and Evil, this, I think this is a game that he comes out and he comes out physical and he comes out tough and he comes out, you know, trying to prove, because he walked away, didn't really talk to the media people. He's hearing all this noise. So I wouldn't be surprised if Debo is raring and chomping at the bit to show people and show fans, hey, I haven't lost it. And I think that you're going to probably get his best this week.
All right. Well, one of the things that the 49ers need to improve on, not only does Debo Samuel have to get better, but also special teams. And when you talk about special teams, it does not get much better than our guest. Steve Tasker joins us now. Steve Tasker, of course, the former Buffalo Bill, so he's certainly familiar with the elements. And I don't know of anybody that's done it any better over the last 10, 15, 20 years than one Steve Tasker. Steve, how are you today? And thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
I was talking about this moments ago, that, and we'll get into the San Francisco 49ers, but in these parts, they've gone after Schneider, who I think is clearly on a hot seat, and whether he's back next year is highly doubtful, because the special teams, it's not as though it's been isolated to a game or two. You can set your watch that the 49ers special teams has been bad, and there's a good chance that there will be gaffes to be made on Sunday. It's just the way it's been throughout the entire season. And for someone like you that excelled in that position, does it become just like anything else where it becomes mental? And it's just, you expect bad things to happen. Can you speak towards a team not necessarily doing things right in terms of special teams, but when things go in the other direction, how that whole thing can start to snowball?
Yeah, it certainly can. I think that can happen in any facet of the game, offense, defense, and of course special teams. I think it's harder for special teams to kind of pull themselves out of it, because particularly in this day and age, I think it's hard to excel at special teams. Because of the rule changes, player safety, and the way the game is structured these days, I think it's more, and you said it, all those games where, you know, the Niners have a gaffe on special teams, the other team, you know, it's hard for them to even take credit for it. It's more about somebody making a catastrophic mistake than it is anybody else doing something great. I think that's the atmosphere of special teams these days. Somebody's got to blow an assignment and you take advantage of it. And it wasn't always that way, but I think more so than now, I think that's what it is. So yeah, you're right. It does come down to, you got to coach your way and you got to play your way out of it. And that's all there is. So you got to have guys in the locker room that'll step up in those core special teams meetings and just, you know, get guys to be better, just be better.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Steve. I love watching you play, and Lo Neal here, and watching the way you played the special teams position. The onus, how is it when you see a special teams, when you're on teams that struggle? What is the onus that you have to have? What is it? Because I've been around coaches, and they say offense counts as third, defense counts as a third, and special teams counts as a third. How big is that in crucial moments, special teams, and what was it like when you knew that your team were depending on you to make plays?
Well, it's, you know, it's something you got to earn, you know. I mean, it's something that you just can't say it. You got to give them proof every day in practice, every game, that you can be dependable. Your group, your crew, you know, special teams has got to hold their end of it up. They've got to, you know, special teams plays. There's only, I think, one. The stats used to be, and I think they still are, 1 in 5 plays is a special teams play. So it's really 20% of the plays. But those plays are weighted in their importance so as to be given the full third of the game. And the importance is, one, it's the only play where you deliberately give the ball to your opponent. You kick it to them. You're giving up possession of the ball. Two, 90 to 95% of field position is dictated by special teams. When you get the ball, it's because special teams gave it to you in a spot either good or bad. And three, of course, it's a direct try for points. You're going to kick a field goal or an extra point. Those three things, the field position, the changeover, and the points, are what makes the 20% plays in a special teams or in a ball game a full third of the game. So you got to have a plan, because you only get – you get a fifth of the plays to make a difference. And depending on the changeover or the direct try for points and field position – you got to have your antenna up, because you're covering so much ground on punts and kickoffs. The ball is up for grabs literally every play, and you know it goes in the order of importance. One, you're trying to score a touchdown. Even your punt team should have the mentality that they're trying to score a touchdown, right? You want to make the guy cough it up and take it in, right? You got to get a then. Priority number two is, let's end the play with the ball. And then you go down from there. It's field position. It's, you know, it's all of that. That's the priorities you go from. And until you can get up there once in a while and hit those priorities at the top, field position, changeover, scoring, and ending the play with the ball, you know, you don't earn the trust. So in big moments, in games where you need it, guys just, they're just hoping you get off the field without screwing it up.
Steve Tasker, formerly of the Buffalo Bills, former wide receiver, standout special teams performer for so many years. Steve, is there a distinct advantage for, obviously, the Buffalo Bills when you're taking on a team from the West Coast? And is it even more so when it comes to special teams? And maybe it's not verbalized, but is there a sense of confidence maybe that, okay, they're coming to Buffalo, and Buffalo is unlike anywhere else, especially the first week in December?
Well, the conditions certainly, it does make a difference for teams like Buffalo, like Green Bay, like New England, the cold weather teams who play outdoors. It does make a difference for them, because when you live in it 24/7, it's not a shock. You know, you're ready for it. You're ready. You know you're going to have to go out in it. You live in it. You get in and out of your car at the store. You go to grocery store. You go to practice. Right. You know, you go to work every day. You live in it. It's not a shock. And then I've done the same thing, man. You get off that plane up in the northern, coming from a southern team, you get off the plane up in the north, and it's like, holy cow, are you kidding me? Right? So it's a shock. And you don't know exactly which cleats you want to wear. You don't know exactly what you want to wear underneath your uniform. How warm do you need to be? How much movement can you get if you put too many layers on under your uniform? Do you want to be watertight? Do you want to be airtight? Do you want to stay dry? All that combinations of clothing that you can put on, you don't know what you're going to need. When you live in it, that's a foregone, because you know exactly right what you're going to do. You got your game kit. You're going to just jump into it. You're going to go. And there's always that little bit of uncertainty for visitors who don't get a chance to do that very often.
When you look at the Buffalo Bills this year, what have you seen that's changed? No Diggs, no certain guys, and you seem like Josh is still flourishing. What is it about this team that make them one of the better teams in AFC, in your opinion?
They have a lot of different ways to win, and they've had a lot of guys come through, some due to injury where they got an opportunity they didn't know they were going to get. Other guys we just didn't know about. There was only one guy on the team when the season began that had ever caught a pass from Josh Allen in a game, and that was Khalil Shakir. Nobody else had ever caught a pass from him in a game. So there was all those question marks going in. And over the course of the first 10, 11 games of the season, multiple guys have stepped up and proven they're dependable. When the team has needed them, they have come through. One of the things about the Sean McDermott coaching staff that we have noticed throughout his tenure here is players who play here tend to play the best football of their career. they are really a good team at developing young players. You get young guys in here, and they give them what that person, that particular player, needs to thrive. They've got a huge off-the-field staff that are dedicated to making sure they know what makes their young players and their veteran players tick. And they give those players exactly what they need. They try and teach them the plays the right way, the way they intake, you know, the way they take in information. They teach them in a certain way. They let them learn in a certain way. They do everything they can to make sure their players have what they specifically need to be their best. And it has really paid big dividends, particularly in San Francisco. You guys know this. When guys go down, you need a guy that's ready to go in. And the Bills have been better at that this year than any team in the league.
Steve Tasker is our guest. And, Steve, you know, Lo and I will sit here in the afternoons and try and figure out what's wrong with the 49ers. I mean, it's topical here, and everybody tries to put their finger on whether it's Debo, Kyle Shanahan, offensive line, defensive line. And one of the things that I subscribe to, and it's sort of an intangible because it's, you know, something like the hangover. You went to a Super Bowl last year, an NFC Championship game the year prior. You've played so much football. And when you think about the 49ers last year, not only going to a Super Bowl, but going into overtime and losing to Kansas City. And I remember distinctly in doing shows following that, that you said to yourselves, how in the world is this team emotionally going to get ready to play football next year? Because right now, this is about as low as it gets. And to me, if there's anything that has any level of credibility in trying to explain away, aside from the obvious, that being the injuries, is that the hangover is a real thing. And obviously the reason I ask you, nobody knows it better than you were part of those, you know, four Buffalo teams that went to four Super Bowls and didn't win any of them. What's it like going to the pinnacle, getting turned away, and then having to recharge the batteries and try and do it again the next year?
Yeah, it's a real thing. There's no question about it. And one of the reasons is because, you know what an odyssey it is to get to the Super Bowl. I mean, you start in off-season, OTAs, mini camps, training camp, week one, week six, week seven, week 10, week 13, week 15, division games, injuries. It's just an unbelievable, odyssey that gets you to the Super Bowl. And then when the clock hits zero and you're on the wrong end of the score, you are standing there at the bottom of the exact same mountain you just climbed. I mean, you're right back to the bottom. You're 0-0, and none of it mattered. It is a real thing. It is hard to get your mind around that. So it does linger, and it takes a long time for that to go away. Now, some guys handle it better than others, no question about it. And I remember when we went through it all those 4 years, the best thing you can do is just go away from it. Work out, stay in shape, but just don't think about any football. Just work out, stay in shape, and don't think about it too much. And then when you come back after a while, after a couple of months, you start getting the itch to get back at it and play again. If you don't ever let it go, it's going to hang around you. You know, it's going to hang around, and it's hard to forget, man.
Right.
It is hard. So I get it. I get the hangover thing. And I'll say this too, as good as a team looks when they're on a Super Bowl run, where they just look unstoppable and they look slick and they're well-oiled and they're outsmarting everybody and their scheme's better, their players are better, the margin of difference between the best team in the league, like a team like 49ers were last year, getting to the Super Bowl, and the 32nd team in the league, the Jacksonvilles of the world or the Carolina Panthers of the world, there is not that much difference.
Mm.
And as soon as you stop to take a breath in this league, it shows. And I think that is as much as what's going on with the 49ers as anything. You close that gap a little bit, and it shows in a lot multitude of ways.
No.
I don't think the 49ers are out of it have gone anywhere that far, but you said all it takes is a hair's breadth difference, and it manifests itself in a lot of ways.
No, you're absolutely right, Steve. And in watching the 49ers, my question to you is, like, watching them, you know, being here and watching them play a team, Arizona, they're up by two with 4 minutes left. Arizona takes the ball and just runs it down their throat to win that game. You watch him, you know, play against the Rams. The Rams have four or five offensive line beat, not playing, two of their receivers, the top two receivers not in, double digit, they lose that game. Do you think it's just, do they not have it? Because I haven't seen them finished. They haven't played four good quarters. They're usually giving it up in the second half, haven't been playing well this second half. Is it just, you think it's the hangover or just the talent has fell up or just the scheme? When you see it like that and you look at the way that they're losing, what do you contribute that to?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. Certainly the injuries hurt. I mean, sure. Plus, even if your stars are playing and they don't feel 100%, it's going to show and all of that. So there's a ripple effect that kind of takes the starch out of everything you do, even if you have your great players in there. If they're not feeling their best or if one of the great players is out, the ripple effect to the guys who they elevated in their play, that's gone. You know, so there's all of that as well. But I'm with you. I think it to me, the Niners look like it's from the neck up. You know, I think it looks like to me it's from the neck up. And I don't know what it would take. I don't know the pulse of the 49ers at all, but I think Kyle Shanahan needs to, I think I would put it on him to do some soul searching and find a message that gets them over that mental hump or shakes the cobwebs out, whatever analogy you want to use.
Sure.
I think it's between their ears. And, you know, I think it's up to Kyle Shanahan to figure out what message he can come up with, what tactic he can use. Maybe it's his leaders. Maybe he needs to sit them down. Maybe it's the other end of the roster. Maybe he needs to elevate some of the lesser players and give them a shot at it. Whatever it needs to be, something needs to shake loose a locker room that's in a little bit of a malaise and just can't figure out or can't remember who they are. You know what I'm saying? So I'm kind of with you. Certainly the injuries have been a difference. No question. The talent level isn't at the peak of where you'd like it because of the injuries. But I think there's something else going on, and I think it's between their ears.
Steve, we got about 5 seconds left in the segment. I just got to ask you, how many times a week are you reminded about chasing down Leon Lett in the end zone in that Super Bowl?
Well, awesome. Let me tell you something. You'll love this because it's been 35 years, and you're right. I get congratulated on that all, let's say, 6 times a year, right? And let me just tell you, remind you, that was not me. It was Don Beebe who ran Leon Lett down.
Oh,
Don
Beebe. That's
and
right.
Listen, I promised Beebs I'd never take credit for it, but I'm telling you right now, 6 times a year for 35 years, I've had to tell somebody that it was Don Beebe and not me.
On that
for
note.
For 35 years.
Wow.
So you are in good company.
Oh, Steve, we appreciate the time. All right, my man. Best of luck to you. And, of course, thanks for joining us here on 95.7 The Game. And a reminder, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? All right, when we continue, I want to get into a little Christian McCaffrey talk. He's been, you know, one of those guys that a lot of conjecture surrounding him. Is he healthy? Is it the line? Is it Christian McCaffrey? We'll do that and much more. We continue with Lowe and Dan Avone here on 95.7 The Game.